And now the game where we invite famous people on to answer questions about not-so-famous things. All right, so they had the Oscars this week, and we are reminded once again how they never honor those movies that people really like. Who cares about The Reader? What about The Evil Dead 1 and 2? What about Army of Darkness and Bubba Hotep?
Bubba Hotep!
Bruce Campbell, who starred in all those unsung masterpieces, is the king of B-movies, the author of such books as If Chins Could Kill and Make Love the Bruce Campbell Way. He joins us now from Miami, where he's about to start filming the new season of the hit show Burn Notice. Bruce Campbell, welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Like all superheroes, you have an origin story. And yours was, if I understand it correctly, that you went to college with one Sam Raimi.
If I went to college, yeah.
Yeah. Sam Raimi, of course, has gone on to make big Hollywood movies, but his first big movie was The Evil Dead, which is a great cult classic.
A B-movie, yes.
And you and Sam Raimi go off into the woods, and you make this low-budget zombie movie in which you play the hero and the sole survivor, Ash. Is his name, right?
Yeah. But, you know, it wasn't actually a college movie like most people think. The investors just recently got a check that puts them at, we calculated, about 30 times their original investment.
There you go.
People can laugh all they want, but there are about 16 people in Michigan who love B-movies.
I bet.
Bruce, were you invited to perform in Evil Dead the Musical?
You know what? I wouldn't take that job for $1 million because that guy's nuts. I met him. His name is Ryan, really great actor who's playing Ash in the musical. He has a 1,000-yard stare because he has to do what I did over 12 years, five nights a week, you know, plus matinees. And when I met him, he was kind of pissed at me because he thought, I can't believe I got suckered into your stupid part. You know, because it's really very physically, demanding. And this guy is great, though. The musical's funny. They captured just the right tone. It's like beach blanket bingo with a serious body count.
Yeah. Just to give people a flavor of Evil Dead, there's a famous sequence in which your hand becomes infected by the zombie bug, whatever it may be.
Yeah, it gets attacked, so his hand gets possessed. And it beats him up in a kitchen. So there's a lot of broken dishes and plates. And
your own hand beats you up. You then chop off your own hand with a chainsaw.
With a chainsaw, because that's the handiest thing at the time.
It's right there.
That's where you find it, right in the kitchen.
And then
anybody would do the same.
And then you attach the chainsaw to the stump of your arm.
Right, because if you don't have a hand, then you got to have something. And if you're fighting beasts, you really got to cut to the chase and put the chainsaw so that the other hand can use the shotgun.
Right.
You got both legs for kicking, so you're good to go. The occasional headbutt, you got about 8 weapons right there. But if you run out of gas, there's a big problem.
This is all common sense.
Oh, sure.
How do they do this on stage with the hand and everything?
I have to tell you, the stage crafting is really the best. It's kind of the funnest part because I knew the movies like the back of my hand, but I thought, okay, Jake is about to get ground up in the cellar. Man, I want to see how they're going to do this.
Yeah.
And I have to say, he goes in that cellar, and next thing you know, there's a fountain of blood heading out of there. And as I left, I thought, who is cleaning this crap up every night? So the crew hates me as much as Ryan, the lead actor.
Yeah, I understand. So you went on to do a whole bunch of movies, Waxwork 2, Lost in Time, Maniac Cop, Maniac
Cop
2. These are great. As well as roles on TV and Xena and Hercules and Briscoe County Jr. If you had to describe Bruce Campbell, the actor, and the kind of roles he plays, what would it be?
Kind of a hammy guy who doesn't want to be the leading actor.
You don't want to be the leading man.
I'm sort of a character actor trapped in a leading man's body, but the good news is now that I'm 50, I've sort of caught up with myself.
Really?
Now I can just be the generic character actor I always wanted to be.
Right. You were never comfortable being the handsome lead.
I don't need to be a Jack Ryan saving the world. I just want to be a schlub who, has a couple of funny lines.
Right.
You know, I don't really have a problem with B-movie actors or movies because if you really analyze it, all the A movies are B movies.
The A movies are B movies.
If you dress up like a bat,
mm-hmm.
Think about it. You dress up like a bat, and you fly around a city called Gotham, and you fight a guy named the Joker.
Yeah.
Boy, that's a B movie.
Yeah.
And you know what? If you get bitten by a radioactive spider,
yeah.
and dress up like a spider and fly around, that's not only a B movie, that's a 1950s B movie.
So Sam Raimi went on to make, among many other movies, the three big Spider-Man movies, and you have a cameo role in all of them, right?
Now, when you say cameo, I would challenge that.
All right.
I would go with Pivotal.
Pivotal, yes.
Well, because, you know, I've been in all three of them. In the first Spider-Man, I named the character.
Oh, that's true. In the first Spider-Man
movie. The ring announcer, if I wasn't in the movie, this billion-dollar franchise would be called the Human Spider.
Right. Just to explain, you are the ringmaster
ring,
of the
ring announcer during when Spider-Man's trying to, you know, dress up as a spider.
And you give him his name.
So I name him. Part two,
yeah.
I'm the snooty usher.
Right.
Oh, sure, a cameo in length.
Yeah.
But technically, I did not let Peter Parker in the theater to see Mary Jane in a play for the first time because he was late.
Right.
So I'm the only character who's ever defeated Spider-Man.
That's true.
No, that's true. Look, I don't like to brag on myself, but, you know, part three,
yeah.
I'm the French maitre d'.
Oh, right, yes.
Spider-Man, a.k.a. Peter Parker, he comes to me for advice and help. And yeah. Counsel.
Do you think of yourself ultimately after your career as a good actor?
I'm actually very professional. I'm right. I show up on time. I say my lines. I torment the director if they deserve it. And I actually try and come up with some chemistry with my leading ladies, even if we fail the chemistry test. You got to try.
I remember, for example, your great love scene in Army of Darkness. The entire dialogue of which it was, if I remember. Give me some sugar.
Give me some sugar, baby.
Excuse me. And that, of course, is the touch that makes it romantic. So
now, but I want to say this. Give me some sugar, baby has some power.
It does.
I met a guy who thanked me for saying that line.
Yeah.
He was working in Beijing, China.
Yeah.
And he had that line translated into Mandarin. Mm. I'm not making any of this up.
All right, go on.
He went into a bar, and he said, you know, presumably whatever it sounded like. I don't want to imitate what it would sound like. I don't know.
Yeah.
But he got lucky. So I know that it has worldwide power, that line.
That's a pretty story, if I
remember. That is.
It's just true. I'm only speaking the truth.
Well, Bruce Campbell, we are delighted to have you with us. We have invited you here today to play a game we're calling...
I'm a Barbie girl in a Barbie world.
Okay.
Life in plastic. It's fantastic.
Wow.
Next month marks the 50th anniversary of Barbie, introduced by Mattel Toys at the New York Toy Fair in early March 1959. In honor of that event, two new books are come out about the two people who claim to be Barbie's creator. We're going to ask you three questions about Barbie and her history. Get two right, you'll win our prize for one of our listeners, Carl's voice on their home answering machine.
Carl,
who is actor Bruce Campbell playing for?
Bruce is playing for Greg Chain of St. Anthony, Idaho.
All right, ready to play?
Yes, of course, I'm very ready.
All right, here's your first question. Barbie's mother, if you will, was a woman named Ruth Handler. She was the co-founder of the Mattel Toy Company. She says that in creating Barbie, one feature of the doll was particularly important to young girls. What was it? A, that the doll's face not be smiling so that girls would learn they didn't need to be cheerful all the time. B, that the doll be sold eventually not just with purses and hairbrush accessories, but with tools and weapons. Or C, that the doll have large breasts so as to help the girl's self-esteem.
Am I answering now?
You are.
I'm going with C for the following reason.
Please.
Barbies are disproportionate, and I heard that, in fact, if you measured the Barbie doll, it was something like 42D 2434.
Yes.
The anatomical. Completely disproportionate to, you know, the average person, so right. I would go with C.
Yes. You are correct.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
It was Ms. Handler's insight, and in this she went against conventional wisdom at the time, that little girls would want to play with adult dolls, and it was important that the adult woman, she felt, have a full figure so as to seem mature and confident. There you are. All right, this is very good. Here's your second question. Life hasn't always gone so smoothly for Barbie. In the 90s, Mattel faced controversy over Barbie's new friend, Share a Smile Becky, who was in a pink wheelchair. What was the problem? A, Barbie's dream house did not meet ADA requirements for accessibility. Becky's wheelchair couldn't fit through the door. B, Share a Smile Becky was not in fact smiling. Or C, Becky's odd Barbie-like proportions made her top heavy in the wheelchair, and it regularly flipped over backwards.
Well,
Well,
I'm going to go with logic here.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with A.
You're going to go with A, that the wheelchair could not fit through the doorway of Dream House.
Technically, that someone did the calculations and they went, sorry, that wouldn't fly.
You're exactly right.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Well done. Thank you, everyone.
You're good at this. We have one more question to go. One way Mattel is celebrating Barbie's 50th birthday is by making what one-of-a-kind special edition Barbie? Was it A, the Jessica Simpson Super Pop Star Supreme Barbie, B, the German Chancellor Angela Merkel Barbie, or C, Alms to the Poor Barbie based on Mother Teresa?
You know, I'm going to go with C.
You're going to go with C.
Yeah.
The Mother Teresa Barbie.
Yeah, because it's about compassion, and that's important.
I'm just going to pause for a second and mentally try to imagine what a Mother Teresa Barbie might look like. I'm afraid the answer was actually B, German Chancellor Angela Merkel Barbie.
My goodness.
The doll has Merkel's hair and trademark dark suit, but observers know it's much thinner than the actual
chancellor. And does the doll flinch when George Bush grabs it from behind?
I know.
Okay.
Get a little button.
Very good.
Sadly for consumers, including the chancellor, it is not for sale. Carl, how did Bruce Campbell do in our show?
Well, enough, Peter. Bruce had two correct answers, so he wins for Greg Chain.
Very good. Congratulations, Greg. You deserve it, Greg.
He does. Bruce Campbell is one of the stars of Burn Notice on the USA Network and the star of the Evil Dead movies. His new movie, My Name is Bruce, is out now on DVD. Bruce Campbell, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Great to have you with us.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
Bye-bye, Bruce.